All right, give me a minute while I get all technologically advanced here. I'm used to wireless ones at church. This whole wire thing. Annoying. All right, can everybody hear me? Do I need to put that up some? Okay. We don't want it too high or you'll start hearing my breathing, and that's disturbing for all of us. As I said, as they said earlier, my name is Dawn Hudson. I have three wonderful children. My oldest will be 13 in 6 days, as he just text messaged me 2 seconds ago. Just to remind me that he's going to be 13. I also have 9-year-old twins that will, they are telling me now, in a month they're going to be 10. So they're really 10, is what they're telling me as well. So we have been homeschooling all the way through. We have homeschooled them exclusively. I was homeschooled myself. My very extremely brave parents pulled me out of public school, high school, when I was in 10th grade and homeschooled me for the last couple years of my high school career, which, as most of us will agree, was extraordinarily brave of them. And especially back then, because homeschooling was not very prevalent. I won't tell you how long ago it was, except that it was a really long time. I have been coming to homeschool conventions since I was 15. Also, again, a very long time ago. So, homeschool conventions and homeschooling is something that I've done all of my life. I love homeschooling. I love to talk about homeschooling. So I am very glad to be here with you today. So I appreciate all of you being here. When I started homeschooling my oldest, I had 1-year-old twins. And my 1-year-old twins, if I'd had them first, we would have just had the twins. And that would have been it. My oldest is extraordinarily good-natured, except for the whole 13 thing. He's extraordinarily good-natured. He's easygoing. He is more than happy to be put into a corner with a book. Then I had the twins. They are movers and shakers. I have boy-girl twins, and you think, oh, little girl, isn't that sweet? She is. She is a mover and a shaker. That girl can't stay still for more than 5 minutes. Now, we've worked up to, she's almost 10, so she told me the other day, I can stay still for 15. All right, good for you. So, like many of you, I started my homeschooling journey wondering, how in the world am I going to do this? They are wiggly, they move, they aren't sitting still, and my 1-year-old twins were walking by 11 months. They were moving, so there wasn't any nice, you know, they don't crawl yet, we can put them on the blanket and they'll play. No, we had to make sure that we knew what we were going to do with the twins. Actually, funnily enough, my husband was the one who went to the occupying preschools class when we were looking into this. He said, you're going to need that. And I went, no, I'll be fine. He said, I'm going. Okay. You should go. So he came back with a whole list of, this is what you need to do, honey, which I don't know about any of you other women. I'm not a big fan of, really, a list of these are all the things you are going to do. Unfortunately, he was right, which made it even more annoying. So, yeah, exactly. He writes down the times he was right. That was one of them. So, just saying. So, I understand the needs of a mom that has to teach homeschooling and a preschooler. As I said, I was also homeschooled, and in my family, I'm 3, 7, and 9 years younger or older than everyone else. So I had to help my mom a lot when we homeschooled. She also was a daycare provider. So even more brave of her, she also always had babies and toddlers in the home when we were homeschooling. So this was something, it really became less about her doing daycare and all of us were going to do daycare. We were all going to homeschool. We were all going to do this together. So babies and homeschooling is something that I've done all of my life. Well, We're going to talk first about what toddlers and preschoolers need. You know, at the beginning of the school year, toddlers and preschoolers are usually a little bummed. Summer mommy is really fun. Summer mommy takes them to the pool. Summer mommy takes them to the park. Summer mommy has picnics, and summer mommy makes popsicles, and summer mommy has time for them. Then school mommy hits. School mommy says, I don't have time to go to the park. We have to teach math. School mommy says, not right now. School mommy says, honey, you have to sit still. School mommy says, no, these books are not for you. They're for your older brother, your older sister. So really, poor toddlers and preschoolers, they don't really like school mommy much. She's not near as much fun as summer mommy is. So the other thing that we need to think about toddlers and preschoolers, I always think it's a little funny when I think about things too. I knew what to do with my oldest as a toddler and a preschooler. We spent time, we learned letters, we learned words, we played, we did learning games, I made homemade Play-Doh. I was a great mommy to my oldest preschooler. Actually, he would have been totally happy just with a book, but I was like, no, this is what good moms do. We're going to make cookies and we're going to make Play-Doh. So I always find it a little funny, and I did the same thing when my twins came along. I was like, what do I do with them? There they are. I have to do something with them. And it's funny because it's like, I already did do this. I already know what to do. I already know that they need educated. I already know that they need to learn their letters. I already know that they need to know that they are loved. I already know that they need to have all of those storybooks read to them. So we need to start thinking about what did we do with our oldest ones. And start thinking about, oh, we need to find time to do that with our younger ones as well. Routine. Little ones need routine. They need to know when snack time is. They need to know that they're going to get up, they're going to get dressed, they're going to have breakfast, then they're going to do some school, and then after you do a little bit of school, then you're going to have snack. I'm always amazed at how young they can start reading the time. Mommy, the clock says it's snack time. How do you know? I haven't taught you how to read time yet. Because the hand says so, Mommy. It's snack time. They don't really understand if you go, I have to teach algebra. Can't teach you just right now. They don't get that. They know that it's snack time. And we need to know that they need to know that it's snack time. So we do have to be a little more routined and a little more scheduled, especially when we have little ones when we're homeschooling. So we need to make sure that they know, that we know, that they know what's going to happen. And that's something that they find very, very calming. They need it. And I think sometimes we fall a little short on that whole routine. Well, I know that the title of this workshop is called Occupying Preschoolers. I actually really, really don't like that title. I think occupying says to me that I'm sitting them somewhere and I'm ignoring them for the entire time. If I can just give them something, then they won't bother me. So I'm really not a big fan of that word, occupying, because I think sometimes and only very rarely do we need to occupy our little ones. I think instead we need to involve our little ones. We need to make sure that they are involved. We need to make sure that they know that they are welcome and that we want them involved in our schoolroom. They need to know that I'm just not educating your older brother or sister, that school time is not just for everybody who's above five. They need to know that they are involved, that they are welcomed, that they are wanted, and that school is something that our family does. I know that in our home, with our twins especially, they actually had a much easier transition into kindergarten than official school time, than my oldest one did, because they'd been doing school all the way. That's all they ever knew. They only know that in the morning we do school. That's what we do. That's what they've always known. And that's what they will always know in my home. So I really want to stress this, that we need to make sure that we're thinking of them as part of our school. They're not separate. They're not extra. They are a welcomed part in our school. And I think sometimes that we don't necessarily welcome them into the schoolroom in the way that we should. Involving little ones as possible. Now, as much as possible. Making sure that they are involved. One, we need to talk a little bit of curriculum here. So we're going to talk a little bit about curriculum and how you pick curriculum for your oldest. You know, oftentimes we pick a curriculum for the oldest and we're just thinking about what that oldest one needs. And we're not thinking about the entire family as a whole. You know, there's certain curriculums that my oldest would have done beautifully in. He would have done a great job, but there is no way that I could have involved my other ones. There just would have been no way to involve them. So when we're picking curriculum, one of the things that we need to think about is this best for the entire family? Is this something that the entire family can do? You know, and one of the huge benefits of starting to think this way early in your journey is that you start this whole family thought process of, we do school. We do it together. This is something that we do as a family, which gives the entire family an identity. We are homeschoolers. We do other stuff as well. But this is what we as a family do. And everybody takes pride in that. You know, my children, they've been homeschooled all the way through, and they are proud of saying, I'm a homeschooler, and I love it. Well, okay, most days they love it. Not every day, because that would be not true. I think it is something that we need to think about when we're choosing curriculum. Is this something that we can do with the entire family? So the other thing that it helps is it helps mom greatly. If mom is teaching one history, one Bible, one science, one art, that gives mom a lot more time. And it gives mom a lot more time to spend, especially with those younger ones. Because if we are so focused on what our oldest one needs, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about that as well, I'm just saying that we need to look at this in the bigger picture as the entire family. So if mom's teaching one of those things and only separating out for language, arts, and math, you have a lot more time. You have a lot more freedom. That also helps with that thought process of family identity. This is something that we all do together. Everyone is welcome. Everyone, from the littlest to the oldest in our homes. Unit studies. When our oldest ones are in, you know, kind of that younger elementary years, if you can find something that has a hands-on unit study methodology, that's going to be better. Because you can't tell me that if you're doing a unit study and you're doing something on butterflies and you do a butterfly pavilion or you do a butterfly garden, from the youngest to the oldest, they're going to be enthralled. You know, if you make a craft with a butterfly and you all do construction paper butterflies, the youngest one is going to want to be involved as well. So look for things that are hands-on that you can all do together. You know, unit studies are great because they usually do a lot of those hands-on activities. That's how you learn. They do a lot of discovery learning. So if you're studying about ants and you're going into the backyard to dig for ants, no 2-year-old in the world is not going to do that. So again, then we're not just occupying, but we're involving. We're not just putting them to the side, but we're actually educating them in what they need to know as well. You know, if we're learning about Native Americans and we build a teepee out of popsicle sticks, no 2- and 3-year-old in the world is not going to be involved in that either. It's going to be messy, and I'd suggest you put tarp down. But they're going to want to be involved. And so we need to look at curriculum as a family learning model. What can you find that does a family learning model that can involve your youngest ones and encourage them that learning is fun? School is great. If you can find something that your little ones are saying, Mom, can we do more school? Then really, that's a bonus. And if you do it now, you're going to be better off. I know I still have an eighth grade son who says, Mom, can we do a little more school? That was great. What kind of, okay, almost 13-year-old in the world says that? Mom, can we do more school? Usually, actually, when he said that, I said, no, I have to do laundry. So good luck with that, man. But if we start this early, if we start this theory of that school is fun, school is great, school mommy is really fun, then you know what? That's going to continue through their learning journey. I hope they continue that. I hope my children at 25 go, learning is great, Mom. I love to learn. I hope they have that love of learning for their entire life. And I do honestly believe that it begins when they're little, when they're 1, 2, 3. And that's all up to us. That's our job to do, to make sure that learning is fun, that learning is something that we do. This is just what we do. Bible activities. I think little ones can memorize Bible verses. You know, one of my friends had a young one and two older ones, and they were all learning Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, at my house, if you memorize a Bible verse and you tell me, I give you an M&M. And Tommy knows this. Tommy knows this about Miss Dawn, that if you tell Miss Dawn a Bible story, then Miss Dawn's going to give you an M&M. So he came to me one morning. He was, I don't know, two, barely talking. Miss Dawn. And he said, into being, God created the heavens and earth. So I gave him the M&M. Well, that continued for the entire day when he was at my house. Miss Dawn. He'd do the verse and I'd give him the M&M. He wasn't my kid, so I wasn't really worried about the sugar. Not my problem. But it's amazing to me that little kids can memorize Bible verses. You know, God's word says that if we hide it in their little hearts, that's a great thing. The earlier we can hide God's word in their heart, the better off we're going to be. When we're having our older ones memorize Bible verses, have your younger ones do it too. Do something that does give them a reward. I do have to say that giving them M&Ms when they get Bible verses gets everybody involved. Even the littlest ones. Oh, and if you're against M&Ms, use Fruit Chewies or something. Or use a treasure box. Whatever it is, I think we should be rewarded for using God's word and memorizing that, especially at those younger years. You know, audio CDs are a great way to involve kids in Bible memory at those youngest ages. You know, something like Hide 'Em in Your Heart. I have a CD at home that it's called The Seeds, Seeds of Praise, Seeds of Courage. I think those are great. One, because I can listen to them without twitching. So I feel strongly about that. But really what they do is they're songs that teach Bible verses. And little kids do great. They memorize amazing amounts of songs if you put it into song. So Bible memory, here's one called, it's the Hide 'Em in Your Heart from Steve Green. Any of those kind of Bible verses with songs that we can get, our youngest ones are going to love. Our oldest ones are going to love them too. They're just going to be less cool about it. Yeah, they were fine. It was fine, Mom. But they're going to memorize it and going to be able to sing the song as well. So Bible memory is something that you can make sure that you do with your little ones. History. History is one of those things that we think, oh, the little one is not going to be involved in. There's no way they are sitting down for that. But what I found is if you get them a coloring book about that time frame, from even 2 and above, if you get a coloring book, they can color that. If you can find a book, you know, I have examples of these, but on the airplane I couldn't bring all of mine. So I have little history books, you know, just little picture books that I give to my youngest ones, my preschoolers. When I'm reading a big history book, they get to look at the pictures of a little history book that have lots of pretty pictures that are about the same time frame. And they feel really important. This is your brother's book, but wait, Mom has a book for you too. Because again, we're not occupying them. We want to involve them. We want to educate them. You know, conventions are an amazing thing. There's everything under the sun here. You know, if you want to find a little baby's history book, you're going to find it. You know, right next to the owl pellets and right next to the, you know, pilgrim hats. And if you want to learn how to, you know, grind wheat, you're going to find that too. So conventions are a great place to find all of that. So when you pick your curriculum, be thinking as well, what can I get that's going to supplement for my youngest ones? What are the things that I can do that's going to make this livable for them as well? And spend some time in that convention hall, because you will find, or you will talk to a mom that goes, oh, you know what, at so-and-so, they have so-and-so, and this will be great for that. Homeschool moms are great to network with. Make sure that you're talking amongst yourselves. You know what, I found a book that'd be perfect for your time frame. So make sure you're networking, especially thinking about those preschool ages as well. You know, cooking projects. When we do history, we do cooking projects as well. So when we're studying about American history, we're making Johnny cakes. And I have a bench in my kitchen that I move up to the kitchen counter, and everybody makes it together, even 2 and 3 year olds. I have pictures that my husband has of "you're crazy" mostly moments, of having 2 year old twins and a 5 year old, and we're baking stuff. Now, it doesn't always turn out beautifully. Sometimes you're questioning, really, should I eat this? But what a great thing. They love to be involved. They love to be able to do that. So cooking projects are something with history that you can always get little kids involved in. When I'm reading something that may be not as interesting to my little ones, I let them build models. So I'll say, okay, we're reading about Jamestown today. Why don't you build a model of Jamestown while I'm reading? So they get out their Legos and they get out their blocks and they build a model of Jamestown. The rule is you have to be quieter than mommy when she's reading, which I'm pretty loud, so that's not too hard to do. But they can't talk and they can't discuss amongst themselves, but they can play and build. And so there's thinking about what we're learning, but it's keeping all of those little fingers involved, which sometimes we just need to make sure that their little fingers are busy while we're reading and while they're learning. You know, keep reading. If you're involving your little ones, keep readings down to 10 or 15 minutes. You know, don't do 30 minutes of reading with little ones involved. Break it up. Or one of my favorite things is to read while they're snacking. We do read alouds while they're snacking or when they're having lunch. Because, again, they're occupied doing this, but they're still listening and they're still learning. So those are great ways to involve all of your little ones while still getting done what you need to do. Science. Science is a great thing for preschoolers. Science kids love to do hands-on projects. When you're picking curriculum for science for your older ones, make sure it has hands-on projects. Make sure it's not like, you know, Bunsen burners and beakers, because clearly that's not going to work with a 2 and 3 year old. You can try, but don't come talk to me after that doesn't work. Find hands-on science. You know, one of my most favorite books ever is this Usborne's 100 Science Experiments. It has great hands-on science experiments. You make a crocodile and then make it blow up, and fun crafts that you do in the science experiment. And my little ones were just like, whoa, that is cool. So things like this, hands-on science. I know Usborne has science in the kitchen and science with air and science with, I don't know, outside. All of those kind of things that keep it short and sweet but are hands-on. Every 2-year-old and 3-year-old in the world is going to be, what's it going to do, Mom? Mom, did you see that? Mom, do it again. They love those things. And we need to think about that when we're picking curriculum for our oldest ones as well. Arts and crafts. Make sure you have an arts and crafts a couple times a week. You can do it based on what you're doing in history. You can do it based on what you're reading in your read aloud. I'm not a huge arts and crafts. I like something that I can sit down and do. If it takes me more than an hour, I'm out. I want it finished in that hour, even when I'm doing something. So when I scrapbook, it has to be, can I sit down and finish this? So when I scrapbook books, I do it for 2 days and then I'm out. So crafts, I'm that kind of a mom. I don't like anything too difficult. So I find craft books that I can sit down and do out of construction paper and paint. And then I make sure I have everything at the beginning of the year done in my little craft area, so I'm not searching for things. But little kids also, they love crafts, arts and crafts. If they can't do the really involved arts and crafts projects, fine, modify it for them. Or maybe just pick arts and crafts that everybody can do instead of doing the extraordinarily involved ones. I have friends who have done life-size teepees in their basement. When we did teepees that were this big out of construction paper. Because everybody can do them. And because it was less than an hour, and I was all for that. So, find arts and crafts that they can all do. They're going to want to be involved if you allow them to. All right, so we're going to talk about educating our little ones. Just like we did with our oldest, we need to educate our little ones. They need to know their numbers. They need to know their letters. They need structure and security. They need your time. We're going to talk a little bit about schedule. When we have little ones and we want to educate them, we need to have time with them. And they are the least patient of all of our children. Those two-year-olds, they want your attention. And if you're not giving to them, they're going to go, mommy, 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 until you give it to them. And they're going to get it because that will drive you crazy. So when we talk about schedule, in our home, after everybody's ready, we're going to have breakfast, then we're going to do Bible, and we do Bible as a family. Then I set my oldest ones up to do independent work, and that's the first thing I spend with my preschoolers. That's the first thing I do in my day. Because if I spend it first in the day, they're not going to spend the rest of the day going, mommy, 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 mommy. They already did have my time, and they know that they are important to me and that I want to educate them as well. So now I'm going to talk to some of you, which may be controversial. The kitchen timer. I love a kitchen timer. A kitchen timer, like an egg timer, has saved my life more times than I'd like to admit. So when we train our little ones that we're going to spend time with them, we set a kitchen timer and we say, mommy has 20 minutes to spend with you. This is your time with mommy. And we're going to work on everything from manners to ABCs to 1-2-3s. When that timer is up, though, then mommy needs to go spend it with someone else. And then I'm going to give you this pretty little timer all for your own. It's your timer. Look, we can decorate it. We can put stickers on it. This is your timer. And when mommy sets your timer, then you get to do independent work just like the big kids. This is setting up a couple things. It is giving you some time to do individual work with your oldest, with your older children. It's also setting up the idea of when mom is teaching an older child or another child, the other children don't interrupt. I have found this really helpful because, especially now as my children are older, if I'm trying to teach geometry issues, I have enough trouble with that. I don't need to be interrupted. You know, if we're talking about algorithms, I need all the brain concentration I can get to teach that to my oldest. And if someone's going, mom, 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 I'm going to lose it, and I'm going to lose the track, and I'm going to lose the teaching opportunity that I have with my oldest. So starting early, this timer idea of when mom is teaching someone else, you are doing something else, and you are being independent is a great thing to set up. So the egg timer, don't start this on the first day of school. It's a really bad plan. So you start this kind of training in the summer. And you get a blanket out, and you get some toys, you know, any of these kind of toys that they can do that have learning applications to it. I always have a box of school. This is school stuff for you. You may only use them during school. You may not touch them any other time. These are school, which gives it a whole different value system. If you're not allowed to touch it at any other time, except for school, it becomes really important. Now, I add things like a magnetic board with magnets in it, in my paint cards. Paint chips are a great cheap way to get them, and you can do lots of games with those. I like whiteboards. Whiteboards are amazing. They can draw, they can color. We have all sorts of little toys, you know, things like these Lori toys that have numbers. Toddler tote, this is a great traveling one. Any of those kind of little toys that you have that you can do learning activities are great for the school box. And I really do think, even if you have older children that have all of these toys, every year you need to make sure and get one or two things for your younger ones. When school hits, remember that school mommy and summer mommy? When school mommy hits and everybody else gets new pencils and everybody else gets new books and everybody else gets new stuff, make sure that our little ones are getting new stuff too. Not stuff that our oldest one has used. It doesn't have to be expensive. There doesn't have to be a lot. But, you know, don't give them a coloring book that somebody has already colored every third page. You know, we can buy an $1 coloring book that's just there, and brand new crayons. I found that to be a really, I'm not sure what it is, but when I gave my daughter, especially one of the twins, brand new crayons, she was like, oh, for me? Yes, I bought this 20 cents crayons just for you. I was thinking of you. And it was a big deal. It was a huge deal to her little mind that she had her own crayons, and it could be that she had her own crayons that she didn't have to share with her twin brother, which could have been a bigger, like, I don't have to all share ever? Not those ones. So make sure that our youngest ones are getting some of those toys and set up a, this is your school box to touch in. So when we're setting up our timer in the summer, I say start with 5 minutes. To teach this concept, I'd get a blanket, like a little, one of their baby blankets usually, and I would sit with them, and I would say, okay, this is what I want you to do. I'd pick a game, or I'd pick, you know, one of these toys, and I'd say, okay, I want you to take out all the colors on all the boxes, and maybe I want you to sort all the colors. Make sure all the orange is on the orange. Make sure the blue is on the blue. Make sure the red is on the red, the green is on the green, all of that thing. I'm going to turn this timer on for 5 minutes. Now, you're not allowed to get up. You're not allowed to get off the blanket. You're not allowed to say mommy unless it's an emergency, like you have to go potty. That's an emergency that I'm willing to move for. So I want you to sit there, and I want you to do this with the timer, and then when the timer is up, mommy will come, and we'll talk about what you did, and mom will get to spend some time with you, and you'll get to pick something out of the treasure box. I always have a treasure box with little oriental trading treasures that are just fun. You know, at that age, they can be those little spider finger rings. They don't care. Little bouncy balls. But if they get to pick the treasure box, they're more than willing to sit on that time. So you start at 5 minutes, you play the game, and usually they'll stay. Now, there will be those children. I have one. Where she wanted to know, what happens if I don't stay? And I said, well, you get off the blanket, I'll put you back on the blanket, then I'm going to start the timer again. And we're going to play this game, and you're not going to get the treasure box. And that'll be very sad for you. Which was really sad for her, because her twin brother would stay on the blanket and get the treasure box almost every single time. So for her, then she would sit on the edge of the blanket. Like, what are you going to do now, Mom? And I would say, good job. Because that's not a battle I'm willing to go at that moment. You're on the blanket, you're doing what you want, fine. We'll deal with your heart issues later. So make sure that you have told them the consequences as well. I'll put you back on the blanket, and I'm going to start the timer again until you stay there. Now, the timer is a great, great thing, and I love it. Do not ever expect any child to go over 15 or maybe 20 minutes. But that's a really exceptional child that can sit 20 minutes in those 2, 3, even 4-year-old stages without getting up. So I would start with 5 minutes and then add incrementally from there. But if you can get 10 to 15 minutes of individual teaching time to teach a math concept or to teach a language concept, you're doing a pretty good thing. If you have twins like I did, I just rotated. So in my house, we had 3 egg timers. They all decorated them for themselves, and I just did a continual rotation. So I would do your 5 minutes, and then I'd work with you for 5 minutes. And then I would just continually rotating so that I would touch everybody and be able to educate everybody at their needs, but I was still getting the time that I needed with my oldest to teach the concepts that I needed to with him. What's funny is we still do that happy little rotation at my house with 8th grader and 5th graders. They know, oh, I'm going to move from here, and then I'm going to move to you, and then I'm going to move back, and we're going to do the circle. And, you know, the great thing is they still know this. They don't interrupt me, but they all also know that mom is going to give them attention. Mom is going to be there. Mom is going to talk to you, and you're just as important as everybody else. And that's a really, really important thing to be able to tell a child. So, treasure box, I talked a little bit about it. Treasure box are great things for kids, for little ones. You know, you can use this everything from if you sit and listen to our history lesson, or even if you do need to just say, why don't you go play quietly with your Legos for a little while? If you play quietly, then you can do the treasure box. The treasure box costs very, you know, you can put cheap, little inexpensive toys, be prepared to step on them later. But you can put inexpensive toys in there, and it's a really great motivator for those little ones. All right, so learning activities. Make sure they're all hands-on, or you can put some books in there, but make sure that they're hands-on. Magnet boards, I talked about. Actually, to find really good magnet boards, I guess when I was looking, I didn't find them at a toy store, so I went looking for them in pots and pans, you know, like baking pans, which I'm sure was really silly because I went to the store with a magnet and I was testing all the boards to see if they stuck. And it was one place the guy was like, can I help you, ma'am? No, unless you can tell me which one of these sticks with the magnet. And he was like, no, ma'am. Okay. So I went and found magnet boards. You can do, you know, the letter magnets. The other thing that my daughter loved, and I'm sure I found at the homeschool convention, was those dress-up magnet dolls. And then I found a car one that you put different things on. And there was a bunny one with princess clothes. And those were great things to have in our magnet box. And my kids played for forever with those. They'd make up little stories. And I'd say, okay, I want to hear a story. It needs to have a beginning, a middle, and the end. Okay? So we're not going to have a story that goes on forever. I need a beginning, a middle, and an end. And when I come back, I want you to tell me the story. We had great stories about the bunny. Even my son was like, and then the bunny gets beat. The bunny loses all of his stuff because the bunny's brother hides him underneath. Ah. Kaylee, you might want to go check underneath this for your stuff. You know, and it was a great way also to teach beginning, middle, and the end. You know, so we're learning, but we're also educating them, and it's also giving us some time with our oldest. Finger puppets. Finger puppets are the same thing. We made them out of just little felt finger puppets. So they all had their own little finger puppets, and they all had personalities, and I would do the same thing, and I would say, okay, why don't you have this puppet teach this puppet the ABCs? Great. This is how you do it. And so they talked to each other for hours. I always found it funny when one puppet was disciplining the other puppet like mommy. So that was really my favorite, kind of like, wow, I sound like that? Huh. All right, mommy says, out, put you in time out. Okay. I hope mommy doesn't really sound like that. So finger puppets are great ways, and I always did teach them the ABCs, or I love, what are the Emily Barnes Little Book of Manners for girls, Little Book of Manners for boys. And so once a week I would have a manner session with each of my preschoolers, and finger puppets are a great way to do this. Okay, when we're introducing somebody, we say, Mr. So-and-so, this is Bob. Bob, this is Mr. So-and-so. And then we would practice it with the finger puppets. And then we would practice it with each other. And then we would say, okay. I would get the twins together and say, do it to each other. That didn't always work so well. But the finger puppets worked really, really well. So manners books, those are things that I would read to them, and then I would have them act out. Those are great ways to educate. We all need to teach them manners, and sometimes we forget, which is why I like books. once a week we did all those little book of manners for boys and little book of manners for girls, everything from opening doors to sitting at the table nicely to saying thank you to introducing yourself to looking up. I know that was the problem with one of my youngest sons. He would say always like this, "Hi, Mr. So-and-so." And so we worked with the puppet. So you have to put your head up and look at them eye to eye. So the puppet would do it. And then I would say, okay, now that the puppet can do it, I think you can do it. So finger puppets are things that are great for that. Whiteboards, again, chalkboards, all of those things you can have in your arsenal for preschoolers that they love. And again, these are only for school time. They may not be taken out for any other time. And that will get you a lot of mileage. So creative scheduling. We talked a little bit about scheduling. Have a plan in place. This is another one of those things that you need to do during the summer. You get your plan during the summer. I forgot to mention one other thing that we do during the summer. We work on first-time obedience in the summer with our preschoolers and our older children, if necessary. That way, if you say, "Please sit down for me," they will sit down. I have mine always say, "Yes, Mommy." If I tell them, "Please go get..." or "You need to go potty, can you do that please now?" Then they would say, "Yes, Mommy." That way I know that they heard me. And shockingly enough with those younger ones, once they've said, "Yes, Mommy," they go, "Oh, I agreed to that? All right." And so they go and do it. So I always ask for a "Yes, Mommy." And when we're working on this in the summer, please sit down. Please don't touch that. Come here when I call you. All of that first-time obedience kind of thing gets you prizes. You obey the very first time, then you get a prize. Now, in my home, whenever I teach things like this, I always make sure that there's a Bible verse connected with it. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's a Bible verse that we always would learn. When you learn a Bible verse, you get an M&M. You learn to be obedient, you get a treasure. It's a good thing. You don't do it, and there are consequences. Make sure that you set up your consequences ahead of time as well so that they know them. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. That's a bummer. Setting up consequences, rewards, and kind of discipline issues ahead of time helps me to be calm when things aren't going well. If I already know what the consequences are or the rewards are, I'm not going outside of my self-control, that I'm staying where I need to be. So having a plan in place, that's part of it as well. Post it, not only for them, but for you. These are the rewards. These are the consequences. There used to be, back when I was a kid, long time ago, there was these doorposts, and they had consequences. They had the Bible verses, and then they had what the consequences and rewards for these. And I remember my mom had those posted, mostly for me. Do they? I have them. Those are great things to set up, but you have to set them up ahead of time. Don't be thinking, "Oh, it's school time, it's going to be fine, I'm going to be able to do that." No, you're not. You're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. These are things to set up ahead of time. Both consequences and rewards. Whining and complaining is the same thing. I don't do well with whining and complaining. So my children at 2 started with the "do everything without whining or complaining so that you may shine like a star in the heavens." So I got a big star, and every time you did something without whining and complaining, I put a star on the chart. And then when you get to a certain number of stars, you get a treasure. So whining and complaining is also one of those in the summer that I always worked on. Again, do it in the summer. Don't expect it first day of school. If you walk into the first day of school and you are expecting these things and you haven't trained them, you're going to be very sorry and you're going to be very frustrated. The first day of school should be fun. The first day of school should be exciting. So we need to train these things when we have time and when we have a little more energy to think about them. And that's not when the school starts. So have a plan in place. Make a schedule. Keep your youngest moving every 10 to 15 minutes on the schedule. An example of a schedule might be, so you do Bible time, maybe it lasts 15 minutes, the entire family. Then, remember, we always do the younger children first. We always sit with them first. Trust me, it will go better in the day if you make sure that they have had the time that you need. Set your older ones up with quiet reading or handwriting or spelling or something they can do independently. My oldest always did his piano during this time. He can just go sit and do his piano and I can work with the twins. Then after that, let them have some, after you've done with your preschoolers, let them have the independent learning time with toys and games and their school box and the timer. So you'll have at least a little bit of time in there. And make sure that you're thinking about what do I need to hit the most important with my older children? What are the things that I have to get to me doing with them? What are the things that we can't all do together? Usually for me, that was math and grammar. I don't do, you know, math concepts well in a group, unless we were doing M&M math. See, I do a lot with M&Ms. And then everybody can be involved. Look, 2 + 2 = 4. Look, if you have 4 M&Ms and mom eats 2, how many do you have left? And we've taught subtraction. And I had M&Ms. It's all good. We taught multiplication and division the same way with M&Ms. Some people are much healthier than I am. And they do it other ways. But we really liked M&Ms. So make sure you keep them moving. So during that morning time that you have them independent, they're not going to do, you know, you can do a couple rounds on the timer, maybe 2 or 3. So you could maybe get to 20 minutes or even 30 minutes if you do a couple rounds of the timer, switching out different toys. Don't expect to have more than 20 or 30 minutes. So pick what you need to teach the children, the older children, for that time. And make it, this is what we're doing. Don't get off task. This is what you're doing because you're not going to have that much time. And then move to something hands-on. So you've all sat for a little bit. Make sure that then you do something hands-on. Maybe it's you read a little bit of history and then you do a project. Maybe it's taking the preschooler and making a fun snack that goes with something that you're reading about in history. And then you read the history that you're snacking on. A science project is always a good thing to do. Always go from reading something to doing something. And that's really how you have to schedule those kind of things in if you're going to involve all those preschoolers. Then, you know, when you have lunch, make sure that you're allowing them to play outside. You know, make sure that you have scheduled in your day that they have some outside, or if it's too cold outside or whatever, that they have some wiggle time. We always like classical music CDs that we could dance or march to. This was school. We were learning classical music. We were learning about composers, but we were marching when we were studying a march. We were swaying when we were studying about the moon or, you know, that kind of music. When we studied the Nutcracker, we pretended to be ballerinas. All of us did. So make sure you have some movement built into your day. Think of creative ways that you can teach these things where everyone can be moving, where everyone's having fun. So read something, do something, read something, do something. In your schedule, you need to make sure that you're building that in. And trust me, your older ones will like it as well. And it's better for them. They will have a better day if you build this kind of movement into their schedule. Now I'm going to talk really to moms for a minute. We're going to talk about quiet time in the afternoon. Everybody has a quiet time. I don't care how old they are, they have a quiet time. In my house, we still have quiet times. I have an eighth grader that goes to his room. I have twin fifth graders that go to their room. Now the boys share. The rule is you may not talk. You may find a book. You may listen to an Odyssey. You may do something like that. You may play quiet Legos on your bed. You must stay on your bed. Now, obviously, when you've got younger ones, it was generally a two-hour nap. And in that two-hour nap, I would lay down or I would read or rest for at least an hour of that, which meant that when they get up, I'm more ready to be able to handle the rest of the day. I had to schedule that into my day. I actually, at that time in frame in life, I also had back surgery, so I had to lay down. It was a have to. But what I learned through that time, what God taught me, was that I need quiet time every single day. And I'm an extrovert, so quiet time is not something that I would normally think I need. But to be a better mom, to be a better wife when my husband gets home, I needed that time to just be down. So half of that time, I would always just lay down. And then the last half of the 2 hours, then I would get up and throw laundry in or put dinner in or whatever else I needed to do. But I find it very valuable. And I think it's something that we as moms that homeschool and that have preschoolers, we need to make sure we're making time that we rest. We will be better moms, and we will be better homeschoolers, and we will be better wives if we rest. So everybody goes down to the rest. It's not even a question in my home. Nobody says, oh, do I have to do quiet time? Because they just know that's sacred. We do quiet time. In the summer, we do it in the winter, and everybody comes up much happier. Even my little extroverted girl, she does much better if she has some quiet time to kind of come in. And then she's ready. She's gotten her heart, or she's gotten some time to deal with it, and she's ready to face the day again as well. So after you've done some movement after lunch or gone out and play, everybody needs to have a quiet time. I'm a big fan of it begins at this time, it ends at this time. Kids need to know you're not stuck in your room forever. This was another time I could use the timer, or I used an alarm clock or something that says, when this time is up, mom's going to come and get you. Okay, but you know that when this time is up, mom's going to come and get you. Scheduling school. I'm a firm believer in a 4-hour school day. Make sure that you stay. You know, I really firmly believe in that. It's one of the things that we picked when we picked a curriculum so that I could have Friday to do things like clean the house. It's important. It's important to my house to clean the house. I'm a much more sane mom if I have scheduled in that. 4 days a week. Yes. 4 hours a week. I also believe in that. So there you go. My school days do last about 4 hours a day. And then 4 days a week. And my kids are academically very, very strong. They test extraordinarily well, but that's what we have stayed all the way through is a 4 day, 4 hour, no, 4 days, 4 hours each day. And then Fridays, if we have any extra homeschooling that we haven't gotten to as well, then I have an open day to get to that. I also have an open day for co-op, or I have an open day for field trips. But usually Friday mornings are cleaning my house, which means that when my husband comes home on Friday night and he has the weekend, that we're all free to just do what he wants to do. He's pretty fond of that. Because he doesn't want to have to clean the house either. Well, I think that I'm about up, and I have 5 minutes. So if you have any brief questions, I would be glad to answer them. Yes, over here.
What did you do? I have a 7-year-old boy and a 3-year-old kid, and they both share the room. And I heard about the quiet time.
Oh, okay. Well, the question was, what do you do with someone who shares the room and one's a chatty Cathy and one is not? I train them. This is not a time to talk. And there's disciplines and rewards if you don't. That's just, to me, that's a training issue. And you just say, this is what mommy expects. Yes, in the back.
I have two questions. How long is your kindergarten?
How long is...
How many hours?
My Father's World's kindergarten? 60 minutes. My Father's World kindergarten is 60 minutes.
All right, minutes. So the next time you go from each child, 5 minutes. All right, how do you make that work? Because I have four.
Okay.
So I have the timer for 5 minutes, but I'm out of minutes when I'm on my second kid. So what is my first kid?
Then you set it up. Well, if you have an older child, their egg timer would be longer.
I don't.
So you just go 5 to 5 and then keep setting the 5 and go around. You go talk to that first kid and say, you go back to them, set something new, and then move back on. Yes, one more in the back.
What do you do when, do you separate each of your kids? Like, do you do their own blanket in different parts of the house?
With my twins, I did have 2 blankets, yes. With my older one, he was old enough to go, sit there.
And in the quiet time, is it 2 hours when they're older?
No, now they're at about 1 hour. But they're kind of less, it's less work for me, so I can do an hour.
Do you, I have
Do you have a guest room or a...
So it's okay to pull an older one out
yes.
of the room.
Absolutely.
Quiet.
Sure. Well, I think we're done. I will be at the My Father's World booth for the rest of the day. If you have any further questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Fantastic speaker. Just wanted to... It was
Thank
really
you.
A pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.